Isn't that beautiful? That's Phil Coulter's new single, Dear God, featuring George Hutton. And it's, would you believe, it's gone straight to number one in the easy listening charts in Ireland and the UK. And it's number five in the USA. And it's absolutely brilliant. And Phil is on the line now. Congratulations, Phil. How are you today, my friend?
I'm great. And that's, you know, like they say in my business that a hit cures all ills. So it's lovely to get a chart, Andrew. And I'll tell you why, Jeff. I mean, for George Hutton, my latest discovery, he's at the start of his career. And it's just great. You know, to have a hand and giving somebody their first ever hit. For me, you know, an old dog like myself, I had my first chart entry back in the 60s. You know, so to have one in every decade right up until now is, I suppose, it's a fair boast for an old dog, an octogenarian. I'm 18 next February, so I suppose it's a fair boast.
Oh, congratulations. Things have changed so much over the decades, though, Phil. For the better or for the worse, what do you think?
Well, some for the better, some for the worse. Certainly when I look at the songs that are out there at the moment and I compare them with the songs like from the 60s and the 70s, which are still alive today. You know, my simple judgment of what makes a great song, if a song's been around for 50 years, it's a good song.
Yeah.
You know, of the songs that I'm listening to, or should I say the records that I'm listening to at the moment, I can't see too many of them being around in 50 years. Songs today are less written than processed. You know, the norm now is to have like 6, 7, 8 songwriters credited with a song. Well, I'm sorry, in my book, that doesn't work. It doesn't take 8 people to write a song. It might take 8 people to kind of process a record, but not to write a song of any kind of substance. So there are exceptions, of course. I mean, I like Ed Sheeran, I think, is still coming out with good hooky songs, consistently doing that. And I love the fact that he can go on stage with no bells and whistles, just himself, his guitar, his wee check shirt, and his loop pedal. And that's it. Because why? It's the songs. You know, coming into to the office this morning, Jeff, I heard an ad on radio for an upcoming tour by the Eagles.
Yeah.
You're talking about songs. What's propelling the Eagles to do sellout business after all these years? The songs.
Exactly.
As simple as that.
They're absolutely beautiful. I was just thinking about Rob Strong because he was down on the Theatre Royal quite recently and he was in with me for a chat. And that man got up with just himself, his bass guitar, a guitar player and a drummer. And the sound and the songs and the whole lot. I mean, he must be an old friend of yours, is he? Do you know him?
Well, he's another product of Derry, yeah. There's another guy who's served his time. You know, he has definitely served his time, starting off with the polka dots and Oma and then working his way through. And he's a great survivor, you know. I take my hat off to anybody who's survived this game for as long as he has.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
I was watching Paul McCartney as well, been interviewed when you talk about kind of evergreen songs. And I always just soak everything up from that man. I love all his stuff. And he's fascinating stories about how he wrote songs and how he arranged stuff. And
there
don't seem to be guys like that around anymore.
No, and it's never easy, you know. I mean, but that exactly makes my point. You know, there's Paul McCartney, who's got all that creativity, all that energy, and all that application. You know, the hard work. It's not just knock off a song and then hope it's going to work. Mm. It's the attention to detail and fine tuning it all by somebody who has a vision of the song and a sense of the song. Now, if you look at that on one hand and look at the current model of 6 songwriters, you know, I mean, there's never going to be one imprint. There's never going to be one personality across a song that's written by 6 people. But McCartney, my heroes would tend to be, Jeff, those kind of survivors, those guys who are A, still doing it, and B, who have contributed to that great songbook that we all love. I mean, the likes of the Paul McCartneys, the likes of the James Taylors, the likes of the Paul Simon, you know, those kind of guys. They deserve my respect without any shadow of doubt.
Another fellow who's around a long time, Willie Nelson. Did you ever work with him?
Sadly, didn't know. We did. I did. I came close to. I was on in a gig when I was on tour in America, just north of Boston, on Cape Cod. And I was on the Thursday night. Willie was on the Friday night.
You missed out.
I missed out, but I left him a card. I left him a card for his dressing room. That's as close as I got to Willie Nelson.
I was just looking at the biog in front of me here, and it was a coincidence because I just watched on Netflix, I watched a great documentary about Quincy Jones. You worked with him once.
Yeah, in South America, yeah, Kunsi, a hero. I mean, yeah. for all musicians, all songwriters, all arrangers, all producers, Quincy Jones ticks every box, and a real low-key, very natural, grounded kind of a guy. And again, a hard worker, a guy with great attention to detail, who doesn't feel that his mega talent entitles him to be successful. He still bloody works at it.
He does, and the documentary threw up a lot of quite interesting details, like the fact that he shouldn't be with us because he nearly died about five times, I think, through various things.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
But back to yourself, because of the great success of the song, you're off on a bit of a tour.
We've been dying to get back on the road, Jeff, dying to get back on the road, because, well, I'll tell you now, about 3 weeks ago, we did our first gig back. It was still restricted numbers. Yeah. It said it was up in a lovely country house hotel up in Cavan, but it was a great thrill to get back on stage for any reason. But I counted up the period of time that had elapsed since my last concert in Ireland, which had been in St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin. And between then and my return gig was 645 days.
Wow, that's a long one.
That's a long time to be out of work. Yeah. It certainly is.
And I mean, I spoke to you, what was it? The very start it must have been, and you were going to stream an event. Did you find that good?
We did that. Yeah. That was, we all had to find ways to cope with the fact that our industry had fallen off the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
And the online thing was the only option. I mean, with a couple of younger guys on my team, they said, Phil, the only way you're going to keep connection with your fans, your followers, your audience, is by being online, the Facebook thing. So we did a couple of things. We did the live stream thing from a little theatre out in Ratoath, and that was a steep learning curve, I have to tell you, Jeff.
Mm.
And then on Saturday afternoons for months and months and months, every Saturday afternoon, for about 30-40 minutes, I did what we called the Lockdown Lounge, where I played a few tunes on the piano, told a few stories with the song, read a bit from my memoir, and generally just kept a connection with my audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you know, you can't roll up in a ball and feel sorry for yourself and blame everybody from the government to the Chinese because of this COVID thing, you know.
Yeah.
You just have to find ways of staying active.
It's great, though. It seems like somebody flicked a switch in the last couple of weeks. And like our Theatre Royal in Waterford and a lot of the venues have opened up very fast and they've got loads of things going on. It's great.
Well, we're heading out in I think the end of next week.
Yeah.
We're embarking on a tour that's going to take us north, south, east and west, right up until Christmas and beyond to New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. So I'm really looking forward to that one. Really looking forward to it. We're all over the place. I don't think we're in Waterford, sadly, because yeah. I love Waterford. I love that theatre around Waterford.
It's lovely, yeah. And what do you do? Just a matter of interest. I mean, I remember when you did that Per Charles gig in the Forum, and thanks again for doing that. And you did that beautiful Lifeboat song. But do you bring a grand piano with you every time? And do you have
every
to
time.
Tune
every
us
time.
Every time?
Every time, yeah. I mean, I did in the very early days. You were at the mercy of what piano would be in the concert halls, and that was just a heartache.
Yeah.
So then I started bringing a 7-foot piano. And then the trouble was always to find a tuner, so we had to end up bringing a tuner with us as well. But the great savior was the arrival of the digital piano. I was part of an arrangement with Roland, who are the kind of leaders of that whole technology. It's a digital 6-foot white grand piano, which travels with me, Jeff, in a flight case.
Wow.
So it's always in tune, and it's perfect. When I arrive at my sound check, my sound crew have already got it set on stage. Everything is perfect. Don't need to worry about tuners. I know how it's going to sound. And it's been a blessing for me, an absolute blessing.
And you had a glass one at one stage, didn't you?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. Yeah, it was a great bit of showbiz. It was a really Liberace thing because as the show started, you had a black stage. Nothing on the stage, and then as the music kind of grew up, the lighting guy was able to lift the faders, and the lights come on in the piano, and it suddenly appeared. It was pure Las Vegas, man. It was great.
Oh, that sounds great. I always think of you, Phil, when I hear, all the songs, I mean, God, I could list them off, Ireland's Call and The Town I Love So Well, but we got a new Lifeboat into Dunmore East a couple of weeks ago, and the song was done by some sea shanty guys, and it was beautiful, and it fitted, and everybody
Perfect.
Really enjoyed it. It's such an iconic song for the
Ireland
and I.
That's very heartwarming for me. You know, I mean, there's different songs of different, you know, have different sensations. The Town of Love So Well, I did that at a function in Belfast just the other day, and it still is a song that means an awful lot to me, and I never get tired of singing that. Scornuts and Simplicity is another song that is a great personal thing. So you get a great kick also maybe from doing Puppet on a String or Congratulations or My Boy, the Elvis Presley song or whatever it might be, or Ireland Call. But something like the Lifeboat song, and particularly when, in fact, in some of the venues that we're playing now in November and December, in the coastal venues, we always throw it open too. If there's a lifeboat station on hand, we invite invite them to send a bunch of lifeboat guys and do Home. So they join me on stage to do the Home from the Sea. And there's I get a great warm feeling about that because. When I'm in the company of those lifeboat people, I always feel very humble. I always feel very small because, I mean, they are proper heroes, unsung heroes in the main. So to have done a small thing with writing a song that has now bedded in with the lifeboat fraternity, that gives me great satisfaction.
It's there forever, Phil.
Please God, Jim.
Well, listen, dear God, congratulations on that song. I never spoke to you about the song either. You wrote that for your son Ryan's wedding, is that right?
That's right. There's a tradition, Jeff, that has grown up in the Coulter household when one of our kids, and God knows there are enough kids, Billy Connolly used to tell me that my family was of biblical proportion. the last of our kids that got married was my son Ryan, who's a professional. He's a goalkeeping coach with Houston Dynamo in MLS in Texas. He got married in Mexico.
Yeah.
So I wrote this piece of music, which was performed at the event by a classical violinist. Lovely tune, and it did the business at the wedding. All the ladies were in tears and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then as time passed, I thought, you know, I really should put a lyric to that. And it was when the COVID thing happened, I found a bit more of time on my hands that I got around to doing the lyric. And the lyric was just kind of amplifying that idea of a young couple starting off in life on that great adventure, that great journey, and just the hope that God will have his hand on their shoulder as they journey through life. And then George Hutton was one of the guests that I had starting off on a previous tour of Ireland, and then I got him into the lockdown lounge on Saturday afternoons. And I thought, well, I joined up all the dots. George is the very man to sing this song. So we rehearsed it, we worked on it, got it into the studio with the orchestra, and to our great delight, it went to number one on the Easy Listening charts in Ireland, number one on the Easy Listening charts in the UK, top five in the US. So I couldn't be happier.
Absolutely great. Well, listen, Phil, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Will we see an album in the next future, or what's the story?
Please God, it's just lovely to get back to work, you know. I mean, I'm not the kind of guy who likes to sit about the house in slippers in a dressing room, so I'll be back at it. I can't wait to get back on the road.
Great, Phil, it's lovely talking to you. Thanks a million.
Pleasure as always, Jeff. God bless.
Thank you, my friend.